What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 96. All right, so I have all of your favorite guests on. We try to do this every few months just to make sure you all know what's going on kind of here around the home front and, I don't know, maybe some of the things that we've learned a little bit about in the marriage game. All right, also, if you haven't already, one of the things that we have started doing at Crosso Meats is offering a monthly subscription. So if you've been following along in the process, basically, we sell out of our meat pretty much as soon as it gets restocked. So the one way that you can be guaranteed to get the best mountain-raised, dry-aged, premium beef every single month, make sure that you're stocked up on it, is to join our subscription. You also get a sweet shirt. Literally, the only way that you can get this shirt is by being a subscriber. So you get this Fueled by Crosso Meat shirt. Literally, it'll be the coolest shirt that you have. Not even a question about it. Plus, you're going to get to where you actually save 10%. We do not discount our meat ever. The only way that you get a discount on our meat is if you are a subscriber. It makes our life easier. It makes your life easier. So go to crossomeats.com, sign up for the subscription, and know every month it'll be there. All right, everybody, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. Have a very fired up wife joining me here today. Oh boy, this might be a fun one.
It's not my fault.
Okay, well. All right.
Talk about in a mood. He's in a mood.
Oh gosh, I'll tell you what. I've been yelled at for everything today. It's just kind of part of it.
Oh, whatever.
I think it's part of it. All right. So no, in all seriousness, I mean, this is kind of serious what we're talking about, but in all seriousness, so today I think is the first time I've ever had Jess on. I almost called you Jeff because of what you said.
Some of you will know, understand the Jeff conversation.
Oh, I guess that's an inside joke that I just learned about. So anyways, this is actually Jess with two S's.
Jessica, if there's any question.
There we go. So this is actually the first time I've told you what the topic was going to be before, just kind of like.
Kind of. You gave me like one sentence.
Yeah.
Before you did all the other mean things.
All right. So let's set this up real quick. Let's set it up. What do you mean no?
No,
I want to explain to everybody what we're talking about. All right. So a few days ago, I was listening to another podcast and they brought up this topic and I was like, what an interesting topic to talk about. So it was, they were talking about relationships and the question kind of came up as to, is love enough? So we're married, we have four kids, we've been married for over 14 years now, been together for like 19. So this has been like now over half of my life, over half of your life that we've been together, which is wild to think about.
Yeah. Best years of your life.
So anyways.
Look, see?
All right. No, but the topic at hand, and I would love to get your take on this, because basically the way that this podcast was kind of talking about it is that love is not enough in a relationship. And so if you've ever watched The Notebook, of course you know that's false. Like, all you really need is love, right? Remember that movie?
Yeah.
It was a great movie, right?
It's a good movie.
Yeah. All right. So I want to pose this question to you and have a little discussion around it, because my guess is there's probably some of you out there who are maybe in a relationship, could be a marriage, and maybe this has crossed your mind. Like, yes, we absolutely love each other, but is that enough? Is loving each other enough to have like a great marriage, a great relationship? Or if you're in a relationship, is loving enough to actually get married? And so I'll kind of give you my thoughts on this here in a second. But first, I want to hear your thoughts. Do you think love is enough?
No.
Wow. Okay. That was real fast. Everybody, thank you for joining us today. We got a 5-minute podcast.
You gave me time to think about it. No. And the reason I say no is, it's a yes and no, right? Because the way I look at it is, it comes along with many, many other things. So I could love you all day long, but if are you laughing?
Oh,
see, this is what I'm dealing with right now.
I guarantee you there's somebody out there that laughed when you said that, but okay, just keep going.
Whatever. Anyways. Gosh, can't even pull himself together.
I'm sorry. I'm a schoolboy. So, I really am. All right.
I could fully love you, but if I don't trust you or I don't, and I mean, trust, I think, is the overarching piece of it because that goes into lots of different areas and different things. If I don't trust you along with that, then I don't think it is enough.
So is trust all you need?
No, because I could trust somebody, but still not like love them or like have those type of feelings for someone.
Okay. So let's say that there's someone listening right now that is like, I am in love with this man, this woman. Should we get married?
No. I think that there's, and that's something I've taught, you and I have talked about. I've told my kids, I've told other people that were, you know, kind of in the serious dating situations, because I feel like if you truly think that you're going to be able to be married forever and that's your long-term partner, then there shouldn't be a rush to get married. You should be able to be, you know, dating forever and ever and not worried about, you know, getting married. Now, yes, you might want to, or, and to have that step in your relationship, and that's great, but I don't feel like there's a need to, or a,
what if you're living in sin though?
Well, then that's a whole, I mean, that's a personal thing, whatever. But I mean, that's not, I don't think that if you've known someone and you're just, you know, for a short period of time and you're Twitter-pated with them and you don't, but you don't have long enough to go through the hard crap. That's what I guess I'm getting at. It's like by the time we decided to get married, we had, you know, gone through my brother being sick. We'd gone through, you know, so many different challenges and trials and different things in our relationship that by the time we got married, in my mind, it was kind of like there was no choice. Like there was no question. We weren't going to have any issues because we'd already dealt with all that hard crap.
Okay. So what about people that, because this is something like this topic is really fascinating to me because I almost feel like I could take either side of this.
Well, and let me stop and also say though, that again, I go back to that you can, and it's kind of like you asked, but you can have all the trust in the world, but if you don't love someone, because I also feel like through all those trials and challenges and just hard times and, you know, whether again, it's, you know, illnesses or financial challenges or, you know, moving or things like that. If you don't have love and you don't have that, you know, intimacy with somebody, or you don't have that connection with someone, then you're not going to be able to make it through those hard things either. So it's definitely a both.
What if I were to argue, if you absolutely just love someone and you love them with all your heart, all of your being, that at that point, maybe you could actually grow together, right? Because because I think trust is absolutely something that has to be there in a relationship. I really do. Because you see so many relationships end because of broken trust. Mm-hmm. And so I get that. But I wonder, and again, like kind of giving maybe my idea on this, is I don't know. Like if I were to ask myself, like, is love enough? I honestly, I don't know. Because there's part of me that's like, I don't know, like maybe it's like the hopeless romantic, right? But it really, don't laugh at that. That was
part of that,
that
you have that?
Right? Easy now. All right. So, but no, there is part of me that's like, okay, if you love someone enough, like you can make it through those hard times.
Absolutely. But so, I think that's can't be the only thing you have. Because I can, again, if I can love you, you look at those relationships where someone else has cheated, right? And let's say, just for whatever, like the wife or the husband's cheated and the wife loves that person and they want that marriage to last and they can't believe they did that and they want to be with that person, but the husband's already cheated. There's still always going to be that. Now there's a trust issue.
Yeah. But if you love that person so much,
saying it's not going to work out. I mean, they could still rekindle that or whichever, but
we've talked about it before. I think that the cheating thing is where, like, it's off, right? Like, I think that there has to be boundaries in a relationship. But then you also hear, or at least I have in my life, of people who are extremely happily married later in life, and they've gone through the cheating, and they've gone through the mess, and they've gone through all these other things, but at the end of the day, they absolutely loved each other, and it got them through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where.
Well, and I agree again. Like, I'm not saying that's all that has to be involved, but I just don't think that it's love is the only thing. Like, I think there has to be, because again, let's say, you know, there's somebody who, you know, loves their spouse unconditionally, but at the same time, they've gambled their entire family and, you know, all their, everything they have, their family's now homeless, their kids, you know, are going without, or, you know, whatever kind of horrible situations that they're putting them in, they can love them and like wish and hope that that wasn't the situation we're in. But is that going to be a successful relationship then? I don't know.
But if all you need is love, didn't the Beatles say that or somebody?
I have no idea.
All you need is love. Somebody said
you're
that,
the music
right?
guy. I have no clue.
Yeah. So, and this is why I think this topic is so fascinating, because, you know, like I said, I feel like I could take either side of this argument, because there's also other people that were basically in arranged marriages and ended up absolutely loving each other mm-hmm. and absolutely having a great marriage, mm-hmm. you know? And so then it's almost like you kind of, I don't know, what's the old saying? You grow where you're planted or whatever. And it's like, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you're planted in this relationship, and then you're like, okay, cool. Like, well, I'm here. And now all of a sudden over time, maybe you end up loving somebody so much mm-hmm. that it ends up being a successful marriage.
Yep.
Because here, and so here's the thing, in this podcast going back, it was all around like, okay, love isn't enough. You need like shared vision and shared values. And, you know, I can't remember all the things that they were talking about, mm-hmm. which I think that's all part of it.
Well, and I think it is, but I guess to me, when you say those things, like I would think, I mean, I guess not, but it's like for me at least to love someone at that level, right? At a marriage level, you're going to have those things already, I guess, because I'm thinking those are kind of interconnected.
I think that that is why this topic intrigued me so much, is because I sit there and it's like, okay, was this person who's talking about this, were they in love or were they in lust?
Mm-hmm, exactly. And that's what I guess what I meant before when it was like, oh, well, you know, like you said, if somebody's living in sin and then like they need to get married, well, are they really in love with that person? I don't know. I mean.
So how do you know? Like, I guess like that's the big thing for me, because I know that we have people listening to the podcast that are both married and that are single. And there's probably some of you out there that are married that are like, is this marriage great? Is this marriage going anywhere? And so it's almost like, what can you fall back on if you're wondering that?
So, good question.
At least like, where's the starting point? Because I, like I said, this is where this question is so hard. And this isn't a new question. This question has been asked so many times, like, is love enough? But
well, I guess one thing that I would say is that to me, when you say like shared vision and all those different things, if that was their take, I almost would argue and say to have an ideal relationship, yeah, it's going to be easier, right? If you have a shared vision on
but what relationship
whatever.
Is easy?
Well, none, but I guess what I'm saying is more simple, right? Versus, you know, is there massive conflict? And I think of things where it's like people who are very different religions or
oh, yeah.
very different, I want kids, I don't want kids, or, you know, those type of things. Like, yes, it's going to be easier to have shared visions in that or in shared values and so forth. But I also feel like, and I've known people where they are drastically different, do believe different things, have different thoughts on things. But then it goes back to maybe it's trust, but also respect for that person, right? Like I know that they are into this and I'm into that, and we enjoy doing, you know, X, Y, Z together, but other things we do separately because those are our different interests. Again, if it works for you, sweet. But I think there has to be that respect to be like, hey, not for me, but that's cool that you do that. I'll support you.
But wouldn't respect be part of love? Like, and I don't know, like maybe this is more of a philosophical question, but it's like, if I love you, I think I would want to also
absolutely.
Respect and honor
you. And that's why I was saying when you said about values, like if I loved someone, but I knew that they were really, I don't even know, you know, into whatever. And that wasn't something that I even had any interest in, or maybe even it was even something that I disagreed with. Then, like I said, do I love that person because I know where their heart is in it? And even though on that issue, I disagree, but I know that their goal is just to better the world. I don't know. Maybe I love somebody in that regard, but that's where I think it's the respect, the support, the piece of it. But that's why I said it would be a lot easier if it was. And that's why I think you find most commonly people that do align in values. And I mean, heck, that's why they have match, you know, whatever it is, match.com, or you're matching up values. I don't know about Tinder, but whatever.
I don't know.
Your Tinder's dirty, but whatever.
Tinder's like so far after us.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. whole different world not out there now.
Cool in that realm.
Yeah. So I always wonder because, like, one of the things that I guess maybe you have perspective on when you've been together as long as we have and you've been married as long as we have is you almost like, I guess it's, you start understanding that love is a lot of different things, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's not just like, oh, passionate sex, right? It's not yeah. just like, you know, sitting there and having the conversations till 2 a.m.
Gazing into each other's
yeah,
eyes.
Because like that stuff yeah. wears off. It really does. And not that you shouldn't have that later in life and you shouldn't have that spark and that attraction and all that stuff. But like, it's human nature that you start taking, you kind of get complacent in anything that you do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it could be your dream job. And then 10 years later, you're complacent in it, right? Like, I talked about that, I think, last week or the week before on the solo episode. It's like, sooner or later, you get complacent in just about anything. It's like human nature. Even with money, like, people that, they're like, oh, I can't wait to get rich. And then they get rich, and they're like, okay, that sucks. Like, what else can I do?
Yeah, that high is over.
And so, like, I think it's that way in relationships. And I think the thing that I worry about, and why I'm so torn on this, because my gut reaction is to be like, no, love is not enough. That's like, kind of like, I think maybe like my logical brain talking mm-hmm. is like, no, love is not enough because you do have to have kind of like shared values. And I think that that's a big part of it. But then there's the other side of me that is like, there's people who are married right now that are absolutely complete opposites and are just head over heels in love with each other years mm-hmm. and years and years after marriage. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I, like, how opposite are we in so many things?
Oh, way different. Yeah.
And so I think that that's why I struggled where it's like, okay, but if you do deeply love each other and care for each other and respect each other, and I think that's all under the umbrella of love, mm-hmm. then maybe it is enough because all the other stuff kind of works itself out.
Yeah, definitely. And I can see what you're saying there, but that's, I guess, where it's like, if you're going for your black or white, you know, gray, or excuse me, black or white, yes or no answer, it's, you kind of have to have that gray area.
So what's the gray area? Religion, well, that's to me, politics?
No, that's to me, like I was saying, like the respect for each other, the trust, like again, you, if you were to just take love and put it in a box and then take all these other things, like I said, whether it's respect or trust, I mean, again, I might love you, but if you have no respect for me and treat me like, you know, a doormat, at some point, are you going to not even necessarily fall out of love, but is like the relationship not going to be successful? Because,
so here's what I think. Okay. Let's play a little exercise here.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Sure. You scare me, but okay.
So I think that we could probably come to the conclusion that maybe love is not enough, but I think love plus one other thing 100%. Can be.
Yes.
So it would be love plus what for you?
Trust. Ooh, well, hold on. I'd say trust and respect, but I'll tell Trump, I'll go with trust.
So those would be mine too also.
Yeah.
Well, so could good. We agree See, that we love values. And trust, yeah, I guess after all this time, I finally kind of got you into shape here.
Oh, good night.
So could we agree that maybe love is not enough, but love plus trust would essentially cure everything?
Yeah.
So did we just solve all the world's relationship
Probably.
Problems? Yeah?
Probably.
Okay. Is there anything else?
Amazing. I don't know. I mean, again, it's like if you're asking that question, or is it more like what just makes a successful relationship? Because again, that's where I get into like,
no, I want to know bare bones, because here's what I think happens. And I know people and actually probably pretty soon I'm going to have somebody on the podcast that's in the relationship space and we'll dive deep into this. But I think that sometimes we, as humans, we try to be like so smart. Right? Mm-hmm. We try to be so smart. And even listening to this guy on the podcast, like very, very successful guy. And he's the one that said that love isn't enough, which again, like I think we can probably both mostly agree on. But then there's the other side of me. It is like, he's almost like going down this checklist of boxes to be like, okay, does she do this? Check. Does she do that? Check. Mm-hmm. Is she this way? Check. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't want this will probably get me sleeping on the couch tonight, but it's like, when we first got together, I wouldn't have gone through all my boxes and necessarily thought that you would be my wife 20 yeah. years later.
Yeah.
And I think that it's pretty obvious that you would say the same for me.
Pretty obvious? What yeah. does that mean?
Oh, I was just kind of a dummy. Okay. Like at that point in my life, probably.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so it was like, you know, not making any money and my future husband, check. You know, like doesn't know what he wants to do in his life and dropped out of college. Check, you know,
this is true. He did have all those boxes.
So checked. Yeah. I mean, there's probably some red flags there, but I like, I guess that's what I worry about, right? Is that for the younger people that are listening to this podcast, is that I think so many of us, whether you're a man or a woman, I don't think it matters. We have this idea of like who we're going to marry. Like even my, my 4 year old, almost 4 year old daughters, they're already like dreaming about marrying guys, you know, and marrying when they get older.
Yeah, all the princess movies. Yeah, you know, the find the prince and get married.
Yeah, my 11-year-old daughter, like she talks about already, she already has her wedding planned out, where she's going to get married and everything else. And it's like, you know, like you have it all planned out, but the man. And so then it is though, it's like, okay, we grow up like thinking about these things, knowing that at some point, most likely we're going to get married. And yeah, some people don't, but most people do, right? And so you start almost like formulating this checklist. And then someone comes into your life and it's like, that's not my checklist, but wow, like I actually feel like over time, like I actually love this person. And so from your expert advice, is that somebody who you would marry if they don't necessarily check the boxes and it's not vision alignment and it's not necessarily like, because I do, so hold on real quick. I do think there's a couple deal breakers. Mm-hmm. So if I could give any of you younger people out there advice who maybe are dating or you're not married yet, or maybe you've, I don't know, been married and you're getting ready to hop into another relationship. Like, I do think there's a couple of disqualifiers that I would absolutely urge you to stay away from. Number one is figure out what your beliefs are. And what I mean by that is like your spiritual beliefs or your religious beliefs, and make sure that somebody is at least loosely aligned with that. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is that if you're a hardcore Christian, I don't personally think that you have to go and marry somebody who is hardcore Christian.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what I do think is that you don't want to go marry somebody who is a hardcore atheist and think that all Christians are idiots and believe in some old book of fables.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that that comes back to almost the respect that you had mentioned, to where if you don't respect my deeply held beliefs, it's going to be really hard for us to have a great marriage.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
So I think that that's a deal breaker. Another deal breaker that I think can be there is family values. And what I mean by that, like if you're dead set that you want the four kids and the white picket fence and the person that you're dating is absolutely opposed to kids, I think you should just go ahead and save yourself the trouble.
Yeah.
Because that might not be a problem in the fun stage, in the honeymoon stage, right?
Well, exactly. But then when all of a sudden you are at the point where you're like, okay, maybe I even at least want to think about having kids. And that's a fine line too, right? Because then there's people who physically cannot have kids.
Yeah.
But again, that's a whole nother thing, right? Are they open to adoption? Are they like, do they just want a family, whatever that looks like? I agree with that one 100% too.
So I think the religious or the spiritual side of this is huge. Mm-hmm. I think the family vision in the sense of, do you want kids or do you not want kids, is huge. Mm-hmm. Because that can, I believe that that can absolutely wreck a marriage.
Yeah.
Because like so much of that stuff is like, oh, you don't want kids and I do. Oh, haha. You're just so hot. We'll worry about that later.
Exactly.
And then you get 5 years later down happens. The road. Yeah. And you've been married for 3 years and it's like, okay, like I'm, you know, 30 years old or whatever it is. And it's like, we're kind of on the biological clock, you know, we want to start popping these kids out. And it's like, no, I
don't,
told you,
don't you remember? I told you, I don't want kids.
Yeah. I told you 5 years ago, I didn't want
kids.
And
I would also say with that is if you are someone who either does or doesn't, and you know, again, you can say, well, I think so later in life, whatever. But if you're somebody who you're like, no, I know for whatever reasons, like I do not want them, be honest about that. And like, because I also feel like that's something that your partner, you need to up front have those conversations. Not, don't let them, you know, fall in love with you and it's 5 years down the road and then you're like, oh, by the way, I really, you know, haven't ever wanted kids, I just didn't want to tell you. Like, that's a jerk move as well. Yeah. So make, you know, be honest about that for yourself and for the other people.
I think a lot of people that don't want kids, like at least in my experience, they know they don't want kids.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just a lot of people that don't want kids, and I understand it. Kids are a lot of work and it's it's hard. But yeah, I think that to me, those two are the deal breakers. After that, I feel like most things can kind of be figured out. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Is there any other deal breakers that you know of?
Oh, I'm trying to think.
Well, and okay, so real quick too, like obviously, like let's take like domestic violence and
well,
and
that's kind what of I was just thinking. Yeah, like your history, like if they've been married 60 times or, you know, any of those things, like obviously those are red flags. With that, I think, you know, people have usually heard, but it's like, you're not going to be the one that saves them or the one that makes them change their mind and never cheats again. Or, you know, those are scary red flags too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hope that like kind of the whole domestic violence or like, you know, dudes that have a history of beating on women, I hope that that's just like an automatic disqualification.
Check
like,
the repositories.
You don't even get to, like, as soon as you know that, you don't even get to like the religious talk or the, do we want to have kids? That's just kind of like a, no, sorry, dude, you're done.
Yeah.
So for all my like lady friends out there, never accept or tolerate any of that type of crap.
Check background records. They're out there, public knowledge.
Yeah. If you need to, there you go. So yeah, absolutely. So then it becomes like, I do believe that once you at least have loosely aligned values, mm-hmm. I think that you're good to go.
I do too. And that's where, again, I guess where I was thinking, you know, where you kind of covered them, because I feel like those two areas, you know, spiritual and then family, those cover a multitude of things, right? Because then you also get within those, and maybe these are clarification points, but again, within those, it's like, okay, are you a, you know, somebody who feels like the wife has to stay home with all the kids? That might be a conversation to have, especially if, you know, from a woman's standpoint, if you're like, I actually want to have a career, or vice versa. Are you like, I want to stay home with my kids. Like I want to be a stay at home mom. That is my goal. Then, you know, again, that's just those family values.
But if, again, like if you and your husband from your standpoint are fully in love and on the same step, like, don't you think you can figure those things out?
You can, but I guess what I'm saying is if it's like the black and the white, that no way in hell am I ever going to work because I am going to be a stay-at-home mom. I, you know, my stand, my, and I don't know different people, but you know, my line is that I will not work. My husband will take care of me. Then I guess that's where I'm saying it needs to be a conversation, because if you're somebody who's like, yeah, I really want to stay home, but you know what, while we're younger, while we're, you know, growing in our careers, all work too, or I mean, just like whatever it might be. But I guess what I'm saying is sometimes, I mean, I know people that have those strong of like, no, this is not an option. I will not do whatever it might be. Some people it might be, you know, I will not move away from my hometown. I don't care what kind of job you have. I will not move.
But again, like if I look at life and just kind of playing the other side of this, and I'm like, okay, like I 100% love you and I want to be with you. And so I understand that that's important to you. Like, I don't know that that would necessarily wreck my identity or like who I am. And I think that that's where it gets into the religion and the kids, is that that actually can wreck who I am.
Yes and no. I guess what I'm thinking of is a specific example where someone was, I said, dead set. They were going to live in their, you know, the smaller town near their family. That was like what their life was going to do, and be a stay-at-home mom. Like that was the option. And then from career standpoints, you know, jobs were changed and the spouse, the husband needed to take a job in a different area. And it was like a no-brainer, was not going to happen. And they totally split up over it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, no, like I'm not leaving. You want to leave. And they looked at it like a selfish thing. You're trying to take me away from what I've always wanted to do. I'm not going to move anywhere else. I mean, anyways, I mean, I'm sure there's other situations like that.
Could it be argued? And again, just playing the other side of this, to where if I love someone enough and my life is happy enough with that person, why would I ever choose a job over that person?
100%. Right. And so, I mean, I'm just saying
That'll probably piss people off. And I'm not even arguing for that, because I'm not saying that that's necessarily what I think. But I think that there's part of me, again, going back to like the notebook style, right? To where it's like, I love you so much, like I'll give up anything just because, like, well, my life is better with you in it.
Exactly, right? And that's what I guess I'm saying is that if that was a deal breaker. Now, if in that case the wife was like, hey, we need to, follow your job for a while. We're still trying to grow, you know, up your career ladder. This is an opportunity you need to take to move to the next step. Let's go do that. And as a partner, you're doing that together, because maybe the end goal was, you know, whatever the fairy tale looked like. But in that transition, because of the love that was there, you follow each other along through their different things. In that instance, I'm thinking of, again, it's like and maybe you could go back and say it wasn't the shared values, right? Because the man, his career was like what he was going for. And not that he left his, you know, was going to leave his family because of it, but you know, he probably felt, I don't know, but he, I'm assuming, felt, I'm not supported and respected in my career that I'm trying to grow for our family. You just think I'm out, you know, doing this selfish whatever. Where then the wife, I'm assuming, was sitting there saying, you're willing to leave us and take me to this place that I don't even know, and I don't even know anybody, and my whole support system's here, and you're willing to just drag me through this You know, so again, it's almost that shared value side of it again. But I guess what I'm saying is when it comes down, if you are very, like, if you're both not aligned with those values, I guess that's where I'm just saying that things can get
so
ugly.
And I think that this is like such an intriguing topic because this scenario happens all the time.
100%.
You know, people getting relocated, corporate jobs move, headquarters move, you get promoted and you actually need to go to the headquarters instead of the plant that you're at, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's why I kind of wanted to talk about this topic because obviously I'm a big advocate of kind of like the primal being, right? Like, kind of live simple and like the things that are fulfilling in life. And sometimes I worry that we make those types of decisions that it's like, okay, I will. Well, what's that movie? The Family Man, right? With Nicolas Cage. Family Man, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where he basically gives up his relationship to follow the corporate. And then he wakes up on Christmas Day or whatever, and kind of has the glimpse or whatever of what life would have been.
Yeah.
So I always worry, all right, so is it cool if I hop up on my soapbox real quick? Is it cool?
Like you have to give him permission. Or like you're going to take it. If I told him no, he's not going
to
not do it.
It's these shared values, you know, I have to ask permission for this stuff, right?
Go. You know? Yep.
So here's what I worry about. I worry that we have gotten to a point in our culture where we value money, status, stuff, material things, more than we value the things that actually make us happy. Mm-hmm. And so again, like kind of coming back as to why I wanted to pick this topic, because I, like I said, I'm torn on this question. The thing that makes me want to lean toward love is enough is because if you took away all the other crap, the cars, the fancy house, the corporate job, the, you know, all the stuff.
Well, back to your Little House on the Prairie days.
Yes. Then I would probably say that love is enough because you wouldn't be balancing love against your corporate advancement. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be balancing love against the $40,000 a year raise. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be balancing love.
Your clothing budget, your nail budget, you know, all the extras that we all have. There's food on the table and you have a good, well, that's probably why back in the day arranged marriages happened and worked.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are probably a lot of miserable people too.
Absolutely.
You know, in arranged marriages, I'm sure. Like I actually had a conversation with a lady here a while back who was from India originally and had an arranged marriage and they were married for like 30 years and they pretty much hated each other most of it and finally got a divorce, but which was pretty fascinating conversation really. But I look at it to where now there's so many distractions like outside of love. Mm-hmm. And again, coming to the conversation that I heard about is love enough? It was like our values aligned.
Well, and I think about too, sorry to interrupt, but like even then just the respect side of it, right? So, okay, I'm literally like imagining Little House on the Prairie. Kennedy watches it all the time, but it's like, okay, if they, let's say they didn't like each other, but at the same time it was like, oh, but you know, Charles brings home food from the store and makes sure that the house is standing. So when the storm comes, the girls are protected. And you know, it's all those things of like, I don't know this person, nor am I in love with him yet or at all, but like he cares for our family or he takes care of me or there's the respect for like that provider standpoint of it. That again, if you go back to like primitive days, like there would be those respect of like, hey, thanks for, you know, killing the bear for me today.
Well, and that again, I guess though, is why this is so intriguing. And like I said, why I feel like I could go either direction on this is because I sometimes wonder like if we were just to simply take away all the garbage that like we deal with now kind of living in 2021 and the status and the updates and the social media and the keeping up with the Joneses aspect of it, maybe love would be enough. You know, like literally, like maybe love would be enough if you had a very simple life and you weren't always trying to take the next job and the next thing. And I'm as guilty of this as anybody, right? Like, I think we all are. We're all kind of a product of our environment to some degree. As much as we don't want to be, we are. Like, we all see the big house and want it. We all see the fancy cars and the lifestyle and everything else,
well,
and we all want it.
Comparison, right? Like, comparison's a thief of joy all day long. Like,
yeah. But it's almost impossible. I love it when it's like, oh, I'm not fazed by this. And it's like BS. Like, everybody is to a certain degree. Maybe not as much as other people. Maybe not. Maybe you're not, like, literally trying to keep up with your neighbors and everything.
Well, or it's but even the people that are like, I never compare myself to anybody. Baloney. Because even if you're not comparing to the sense of, oh, I wish I had what they had, or, you know, that type of a comparison, you're still constantly looking at them being like, okay, well, you know, even if it's like, I'm just keeping up with that person, I'm doing okay. Or I'm, you know, whatever it might be, excuse me. But like, you, people who say they aren't comparing or they don't ever care what anybody else is doing is baloney.
So let me ask you this then. If you were to take away all of that stuff, let's say that we lived here on the ranch like we do, and we don't really see anybody, and we don't really care if anybody knows what we drive or where we live or like any of that. Really, like, our life just was kind of focused around basically eating and staying warm and like having clean water. Do you think at that point love would be enough?
I'm still going to go with my original answer because there's the love and the trust, right? Because again,
yeah, but even, if you're living remote, like, you probably don't even really have to trust your husband. Like,
no, but do I trust my husband that he's like going to even care to bring home dinner, or is he gone for 3 days? And like, I guess I'm looking at the trust is going to be different, but it's more of the caring and providing trust at that point. Like, he's going to be like, oh, well, that, you know, elk's too far away. I'm not going to hike up there. Too bad. The kids are going hungry today. Versus,
is it a trust thing or a providing thing?
I think it's the trusting to provide, trusting to take care, trusting to be there, trusting just to, I mean, I think from a woman's standpoint, a lot of it is the provider and the protector, but it's still, to me, the trust. I mean, you take, you know, even just like, and this is tweaking totally off tangent, but you know, it's like you take, whether it's like foster kids or kids that have been in bad relationships, and they, you just throw them in these homes and are like, okay, now just trust us. Like, childlike trust isn't just there if it's been broken. So that's kind of where I'm thinking at from. There's a tangent for you.
It's interesting.
Because let's say you're sitting there and it's like, okay, you're married to John, and John leaves for 3 weeks at a time, and when he's home, he's great, and you've got food on the table and somebody else to help, you know, whatever, milk cows and whatever you're doing back then. But at the same time, when John leaves and just leaves for 3 weeks, and you don't know if he's dead out in the woods or coming home, I mean, that would cause some struggles.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wonder if so many of us
would struggle. It make it simpler? 1,000%. I get what you're saying, and I completely agree with that, that there is so much of the BS that we're just filled with today, whether it's social media connections with past romances or, you know, I mean, all the things that are going on today, comparison even to different relationships, you know, I mean, there again, like, when we talk a lot on a podcast, but still, like, you guys don't know what's really going on behind closed doors. Like, you get
an hour.
She beats me up.
But I mean, I fell down the stairs.
Good night. But I mean, again, you get 30 to 50 minutes every few weeks, you know, and some Instagram highlights. Like, you know, people don't really know people. So again, the comparison of just all of that, if you got rid of all of that, obviously things would be much, much simpler.
Well, to me, this is why it's so fascinating, because I wonder, like, in your point in time, if these quote unquote values change, or these boxes, because again, like, going back to the podcast and listening to it, it's like, man, like, maybe you didn't actually love this person. Maybe you were in lust with this person. Maybe, like, you had great sexual chemistry, or like, maybe you had some common interest, but like, maybe you didn't actually love each other, but maybe you've never been in love to know what that would be like if you were. Because I always look at it to where if you unconditionally love somebody, that's one of the best and worst things that can happen. Because you see people who unconditionally love other people and they almost turn into a doormat, kind of like you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe there isn't the respect or the trust. You know, one person's cheating on the other person, or one person is doing this, and the person almost turns into a doormat because they are just so loving of that person. Mm-hmm. But it's like, for all of those stories that you know of or that you hear, there's also the other stories of people who stayed committed to the relationship because they loved them and they got through it, mm-hmm. and they end up, you know, growing old together and having great times together. And really, they didn't have necessarily respect, right? They maybe mm-hmm. didn't have any trust.
Yeah.
But what the one thing that they did have is that love. you know, yeah. or even just one person for the other, just had unconditional, like crazy love, and they somehow got through it. Mm-hmm. And so that's where, again, like it's so like so torn on it. Mm-hmm. Because there is part of me that's like, if you love somebody so deeply and so much with all of your heart, like maybe at some point you turn them around from what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that, if you're just going to check some boxes, like, are you really ever going to love that person?
Well, and that's one thing that I struggle with. It was interesting, and I get it. And granted, I haven't dated later in life, but I worked with a gal that was dating and was probably around 30s. This is a few years back, but it was interesting because in one hand, it was like, okay, I totally get it. Like, you're at a point in your life, like, you're not out to just, like, date forever and ever casually. And, like, you know, you're at a point where it's like she wanted to get married and have kids. And it was like, all right, like, we're serious here. Like, if you don't meet these certain criterias, like, you're out of here, which I have respect for. But then there was also this part where it was like, okay, but holy cow, like, some of the things you've got on here, like, you know, on this quote-unquote list were not extreme, but almost like, okay, well, where's like the gray? Or like, I don't, you know, he's not a sex offender, but just because he was married before, like, why is that such a deal breaker? Because you're of an age where you could have been married before, or, you know, different things like that. So I think it's good to have those boundaries. But I think sometimes, again, looking for perfection, nobody's perfect. Nobody's going to most likely hit, you're not perfect, dear. Nobody's going to fit all the boxes. So you can fit most of them, or like I said, there's things you can work through, but, and I don't know, I guess I'm rambling, and I get the not wanting to start off with a challenge, but it's people I think sometimes are so irrational on what they're looking for that then it's almost they've set themselves up for failure in that regards as well.
Well, I think that what ends up happening to kind of the check the box person, and if this is you, like kind of sorry, not sorry, but I think that what happens with the check the box person is that they end up missing out on something that they never knew that they would always want. Mm-hmm. Almost, right? Like, mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, if you have your ideal world and you can build your perfect person, kind of like you used to do, like in the old Madden football game back in the day, right? Like, yeah, maybe they would look a certain way and they would act a certain way and they would have certain values. But the truth is that nobody is ever going to fit into that box. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's why it's so important to know what exactly you have to have, what it is that you have to be doing, and make sure that it is something that you can align on for the most part. And then everything else from there, provided you have the love, is going to be okay. Right?
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly what I was saying. Is
you hit those top two things.
Yeah.
So you have love, you're in alignment on like some type of spiritual ideals, and you know where you want to go with kids. And I think that you are perfect. I think you'll have a marriage that lasts forever, provided that you grow together and that you know, mm-hmm. do some of the things. But I think growing together also comes back to having deep love for each other, mm-hmm. right? Like if you are truly madly in love with somebody, I think you just naturally kind of become one. Mm-hmm. And like, I think it's even like, I don't know, like in the Bible verse, right? When you get married, it talks about like basically you two people one. Joining yeah. and becoming mm-hmm. one. And so if you do truly love each other enough to become one, then it's really hard to grow apart because absolutely. You're one, right? Like you're growing in the same direction.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's where I go back to where it's that trust and respect, because it is that piece of, okay, like that's something, you know, I'm thinking career or when you have like just growing together, maybe it's, you know, somebody really wants to be an author or whatever it is. Then it's like, okay, that's something that's important to you. How can we support you in doing that? And how can we grow that? So I think growing together and you know, you're always going to be growing. We're always changing as people.
Well, just think about it for us, right? Mm-hmm. So basically when I asked you to move back to the ranch, that means that you are never going to be in corporate again.
Yeah.
Like you are never going to be mm-hmm. like a VP of HR again.
Yeah.
Like you were.
Probably. Yep.
So like, how did we get through that? Like, what was that like for you to know again, that I wanted to do something? And I know that at that point in your life, you had quit, you'd walked away, but maybe there was still kind of that itch that wanted to be scratched after the kids all got into school at that point. And 5 years later, you could have went back and found another yeah. HR, you know, VP role.
Well, and I think it was something where, you know, we had talked about, like, not long after, I was already like, okay, what can I do from home? How can I, you know, just connect with other people? How can I, you know, do something that's may or may not be using, like, my HR skills, but it was something where, you know, I felt like, okay, I do have some skills. I do have some knowledge. How can I use this? How can I do this? And luckily, like I said, you were supportive in different ideas. And, you know, now today, like, it does work that I am able to do HR in certain capacities with different, you know, companies. But then on top of that, when we really started building to our CrossO meets, then, and again, to me, I'm a person where everything happens for a reason. And I know God has a plan in all this, but it kind of dawned on me one day where it was like, okay, I have ran teams. I've been an executive team member for a large company. I know how to run a company. I know how to put processes in place. I know how to set up a, you know, a business. Now, I haven't ever ran my own business prior to this, but it was like, I know what needs to happen from a people standpoint. I know what needs to happen from a process standpoint. I will be able to use all that for good in what we will build in the future. So that to me, I guess still gives me.
Yeah, but you had no idea that we were going to start this business when you made that. For sure.
But, and I think at the time, because I had left already, I kind of didn't care, I guess, at that point.
But see, now, I think there's people out there that maybe wouldn't have wanted to make that move because they knew that making that move would mean the end of their, because like for, again, for those of you who don't know us, we live 12 miles outside of a town of 400 people. There are no corporate jobs here. There are no, cause I know of other small towns to where it's like a little tiny town, but they still have like one big business there. That's got all this, like, we don't have any of that.
No.
So essentially making the move meant that you were never going to go back to corporate. And so this is why I think, again, like if I'm coming back to the other side of the argument again, to where love is enough, it's like, okay, like maybe that will never happen, but because I love this person enough, like it'll still be okay.
Well, and I will, yes. So I will say with that, and again, it goes back to the love and the trust, right? Cause for loving you and knowing where your heart was at with the whole thing and our similar values and that, like, I love this life, like living a rural life. Now, if I was a hardcore city girl, that would have been totally different. Like I grew up in a farming community. Like I love this life and being with the animals and all that. So that was good. And that was in alignment. Then there was that trust side of it. It was like, okay, you say that you've like thought about this, you've prayed about this, this is what you feel is the direction for our family, and you're going to harbor that, like, you're going to take care of us, this is going to work, we're going to go, and as crazy as it might be, and it was, by the way, we'll figure it out and we'll make it through. Then there's that love and that trust that goes into both of it. And that's where, I guess, if I had no trust, if you'd, you know, left it so that I was continually the one that was having to always make the mortgage payments and always having to harbor, you know, the steady job and all of that, there probably wouldn't have been near, because then in my mind, I would have been more the scarcity of, great, we're going to move up there. Shit's going to hit the fan again. And I'm going to have a job because you can't hold one. So then what the hell am I going to do? But I didn't have that fear. So it wasn't an issue. So I think trust was involved in there as well.
So I guess pretty much what it comes down to.
Love and trust.
Love is not enough.
Yep.
Is that what we've decided?
That's what I think. I think you have to have love and trust. That's going to be my best. And when I say respect, to me, that's almost the respect. I bundle that with trust. Because again, like if I come to you and say I'm going to be a opera singer, and you're like, okay, that's, you know, whatever your new endeavor is, let's try this. I mean, that's kind of part of it, I guess.
No, I think.
Not that I'm going to be an opera singer. I sound like a man, going back to our Jeff comment.
You could always do like baritone.
Like baritone.
There you go.
Good gosh.
Do that low end.
No.
All right. So I think that after nearly an hour of talking this through, what we have realized is that love isn't quite enough.
Yep.
But love and trust is?
Yes.
Shared values?
Yes. Again, trust.
What about shared vision of the future?
I think if there's, like I mentioned before with the examples, if there's deal breakers, if it's a general, like, we want a family and we just want to live our life.
I guess I mean like
fine,
shared vision of like, I want to build a big business and maybe you don't.
Then I think if it's like hardcore, no way, very, very strong beliefs, then it could be a deal breaker.
But again, if you love me enough, I would think you would support me in wanting to build a big business.
Maybe. Again, I'm saying I would, but it's like if you had somebody who was like, my family was ruined because all my dad did was work and blah, 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 there might be a lot more stronger or hurdles to overcome. Again, if trust was involved and you were saying, hey, I'm trusting you, you're not going to work 80 hours a week and...
So did we resolve
things.
This at all?
No, you're complicating all of it. I said, yes, that love and trust is
love
all.
Love and trust.
That's what you need.
That's what you need.
Yep.
So I agree because, so I had a conversation with someone not too long ago that was kind of going through some dating stuff and it was like, okay, do you trust this person? Well, not really. And I was just like, end it now.
What are you doing?
Yeah. And he was just like, well, no, like, I mean, I think maybe like she can't, it's like, no, end it now. Like, as soon as you said that you can't trust this person.
And it'd been like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Like 2 weeks into a relationship. Yeah. It's over. It is absolutely over. If you can't trust someone a couple of weeks into it, like at least give them an opportunity to lose your trust before you just like, don't trust them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that, so here's our collective advice. If I can speak for both of us, which is if you're in a marriage now and you deeply love somebody, but you can't trust them, you got to work on it. You got to figure that out. Mm-hmm. If you can trust someone, but you don't love them, I think that there are ways that you can rekindle the flame. First and foremost, I would say is that you need to start having like some alone time together.
Yep. Date your spouse.
Date your spouse. Absolutely. It's, I think a lot of people fall out of love because they just kind of fall out of knowing who the heck they're married to. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to do when you have kids and you have jobs or businesses or lives, just, you know, soccer practice here and ballet dance there, whatever it may be. And I think it's really easy with the pace of life that we have, kind of coming back to present time, to
you become just, roommates.
Yeah, you're just not even around each other enough to know if you love them or not. So before you think that, oh, I just, you know, I'm just not in love anymore, it's like, well, maybe you just don't even know the person, mm-hmm. right? Like maybe you spend more time with your boss on a Zoom call than you do your spouse, and mm-hmm. that's going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, like,
and I'll go back and just plug in that like date nights does not mean anything crazy. It doesn't mean anything fancy. That means like go for a walk, go just, I mean, heck, sit outside by yourself for a half an hour, you know, grab a cup of coffee in the morning together. Like it does not have to be anything crazy. Yeah. Going out and getting dressed up, like that's super fun too, but it does not have to be, you know, if there's budget conscious people, I feel like that's one of the biggest things people are like, well, I can't do that. Or the other one is, well, I can't find childcare. Find somebody to like co-op with you. Like 1 week you take their kids and they go out. The next week you swap and they go out. Like, well, you, make you know it what? Happen.
You know, it's much more expensive than like a fancy dinner once a week, right?
Divorce.
Yep. Yeah. So if honestly, like I call BS if you're saying that, oh, I can't afford to date my spouse. No. Like it could be PB&J and a couple hours away while you drop the kids off your parents' house or your neighbor's house. Or like if there's a will,
if it's
there's
a priority, you can make it happen. It's just like fitness. It's just like nutrition, all the things.
Yep. So I guess, again, if you're maybe single and you're like, okay, I don't know if I should like enter into a serious stage in this relationship. Do you have love and do you have trust?
And shared values.
So there's three things.
Family shared and values. Spiritual. Yep.
Family and spiritual. So if those three things line up, I think that you're on the right path. If any one of those things don't line up, I think you're setting yourself up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
If nothing else, even if not quote unquote failure, it's going to be long-term struggles.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's where it's sad sometimes when you see relationships where it's like they're trying to make it work, but this thing, whatever the elephant is in the room, comes up, you know, every single year or every couple months, or like, it's just a continual struggle.
It is. I still, there's part of me that thinks if you love someone enough and they love you back enough, like that's a big part of it.
Absolutely mutual.
Right? Like mutual love. You can't just hopelessly love somebody and them not care about you. Obviously, that's not going to work. But I think if the two of you are absolutely 100%, you know, head over heels in love with each other, I think that that makes up the majority of those three. Like I think that there are people that I know of that maybe wanted kids, and the person that they're madly in love with didn't. And they're like, okay, cool. Like, that's fine. Like I love you so much. And like my life is so much better with you in it, mm-hmm. that I'm okay with not having kids. Mm-hmm. So I think that like, if you were to have this be like a percentage, like I think love is the majority, and then shared values and stuff like that, you know, the trust, I think that also has to be an equation. But I also think that the love can cover up a lot of other things over time. I really do.
Yep.
If there's mutual love.
Definitely.
Again, if it's one way, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. So I think we just pretty much solved the marriage crisis.
Pretty much. World problems.
I think it's
saved.
Like about 50% of marriages end in divorce. And so if everyone just listens to us.
It's definitely going to drop to like 30% now.
I think it'll drop to like 4%.
There you go.
No?
Sure.
It's science.
Science, 100%. Science. We've solved all the world's problems.
We have solved all, not all the world's problems, but at least the marital problems.
Yep.
And if you solve the marital problems, you solve the kid problem. We did just solve the world's problems.
Exactly, pretty much.
Okay, perfect. Well, I guess since we've done that, there's nothing left to talk about. All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this one. This is a fun one. If you're not already, make sure you follow Jess at bootwearingmama on Instagram at bootwearingmama. If you're not already following me, I don't know what the hell you're doing. Actually, I know most of you aren't following me because there's a ton of downloads on the podcast and I still only have like 1,000 followers. So what the heck? At primal.king on Instagram. Go there. Follow.
Get all it's fun. The fun, crazy.
You get to see the cool stuff like us blasting rattlesnakes. And yep,
killed a few rattlesnakes the last couple days. Yeah, you know, been doing all the fun things.
I hate those things. All right. All right, everybody. Well, have an awesome weekend. We will talk with you next week. And remember, love may not quite be enough, but it's pretty damn close. Just a couple more things to throw in there. All right. Have an awesome day.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.